I'm Maeve Ann, the founder and owner of Maeve by the Sea, a gift and home shop that also supports creatives. I welcome you to this Turning Your Passion into Business podcast series, which includes top tips and insights from talented local creators who live and work their passions every day. I hope you enjoy. You are about to listen to podcast number 4 with Rachel Devlin, artist and illustrator of Watercolor Sky. In this conversation, we talk about lots to do with the creative journey. Rachel shares her story of how art became part of her existence really throughout her career and how she ended up pivoting and realizing that she was interviewing people every day that had creative talents just like she did. In her tips at the end, she shares about working hard and being kind, and she talks a lot about her rebrand to Watercolor Sky and how she came up both verbally and visually with the idea and sort of the motivation behind the rebrand and recent rebrand for her business. This conversation is rich with creativity, visualization. We talk a lot really about kind of the process of creativity and change in the career journey. So it's definitely a conversation not to be missed. Welcome everyone to podcast number 4, and this is the turning your passion into business podcast series. I am delighted today to welcome you back, and I have Rachel Devlin with us today, and I think we are about to have a very interesting conversation. Welcome, Rachel.
It's lovely to be here.
Thank you. So we guys are in the back of the shop again today. So we did our podcast number 3 here, and we have podcast number 4. I'm just going to give a little shout out to Kieran Swale, who's helped us with a bit of software and hardware this morning and a bit of prep in advance. So thank you, Kieran, for that. Rachel is an artist and illustrator, and I'm kind of excited to chat to her this morning because she has a bit of a background where she maybe didn't start off life as we now know her here in Maeve by the Sea. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Rachel does a number of illustrations and beautiful, beautiful cards. And I've probably had her in the shop for just over a year, I think. And recently, she rebranded, as we call it, which is a very commercially term, but she has maybe re-termed what she calls herself and looked at different ways of doing designs. And the customers have received the new work so well.
That's so nice to hear.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that too. But let's get eased in with a question. Mm-hmm. Rachel, tell us how you became an artist and illustrator.
Well, I have always drawn, always made things. So it's like whenever people are growing up and they sort of get to, you know, sort of teenage years, oh, what do you want to do? You know, what are you going to study? It was never a question for me. I was just art from the get-go. At primary school, whenever I had to do like homework, you know, the comprehension, you know, story writing, I would always hand in an illustration as well.
Oh,
I illustrated all my homework.
I
illustrated
it.
All my, you know, it's whatever subject it was. So it was something that was always natural to me. It was never a question. I was always going to go to art college. And my grandfather was a lecturer at the art college. And so I was always brought up admiring the things he would bring home, you know, from degree shows, you know, that students had made. And I was just always in awe of it. So I just always, oh my goodness, from about 8 years old, I want to go to art college.
Oh,
which
fabulous.
Probably didn't sound, you know, like all the other kids, you know, I want to be a nurse or an astronaut, you know.
No, an artist is good. The teacher must have loved you if you were illustrating every single piece of homework.
Well, you know, I had one teacher who was amazing. He was absolutely superb, and he was a very, very creative person himself. And he used to mark my illustrations.
Oh,
well. Of course, I just called them pictures. You know, here's my picture, and he used to mark the pictures for me, which really encouraged me.
Totally motivating. And isn't it funny how you always remember the people that
influenced
you?
It's true. I know. I'd love to see him again and thank him.
Oh, that is amazing. And then you said your grandfather was a lecturer. Yeah,
yes.
In the art college.
Yes. It's actually really funny. He brought screen printing to the art college. This was in the 50s, and whenever I didn't actually know that until after, when I was at art college, I went automatically into screen printing.
Wow.
And I tried all printmaking like etching and calligraph and everything, and it was actually screen printing that I loved and I really took to. And then it was after my mum said, you know, that's what your grandfather did, you know. So it was lovely.
In the genes.
Absolutely in the genes. Yeah.
Absolutely in the genes. And funny how you just by default followed in his footsteps without realising.
Yeah, really, really, really interesting, you know.
Oh my goodness. Funny. So in the early days, like what, I have a 5-year-old daughter, so mm-hmm. let's just jump in there. And I kind of resonate with what you're saying around, she does a lot of drawings and she'd rather do her drawings than do her, you know, literature homework, which is difficult. So she's churning out about 3 to 4 drawings a day at the minute. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to encourage that in her because that's
fantastic,
not...
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been like that as a child, mm-hmm. but I know that's her creative release, if you like. Was there anything in particular in the early days that you recall that you would have, like, drawn or anything?
I know that I would have been making a lot of things. I was just obsessed with paper. It's funny, you know, I just was absolutely obsessed with paper. And I would be in the cereal cupboard, you know, that, you know, lifting the inner packet out and then cutting big holes of cardboard and everything, you know.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I never got into trouble for, like, cutting apart the packaging with the food still inside it, you know, and I was making things from that, you know.
So all like cardboard, different kind of...
Making little books and little, you know, paper badges and dolls and everything out of paper.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing.
I should have known
where you were going to end up. And then interesting too that you're using sustainable source actually
yes.
for the cards.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, it's funny, like sustainability is now a real keyword. But I have been always having my eye on that ever since I started the business. There's a lot of, you know, things to do with, especially whenever I was working in weddings, there's a lot of wedding stationery that wouldn't be sustainable for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never comment on any other business, but for me, it wasn't right. I always needed to make sure everything was not wasteful, you know.
Totally.
I think... probably about more than 30 years ago, I got really interested in what is now called, you know, eco-friendly. Everybody called it green back then.
Oh,
know?
Yeah, that's right. Green, I remember those days. I think we were around the same age.
We probably are, yeah. So, everything was green, and I just always wanted that. And even from the minute I started, I was always, if I was cutting up card to use... for, you know, making a particular product or a particular size card, whatever was left over, I'd make other things from it. You know, I'd make like little, you know, being able to have a market stall, I would be able to make things that didn't have to go online. You know, there could be little one-offs, you know, little
exactly,
packets of tags or,
yeah,
again, sort of little books or little notelets or something that, you know, could just be a one-off from... offcuts, you know.
Yeah, like really resourceful.
Yeah,
use every piece that you have.
Absolutely.
And people love buying something that's just one off, don't they?
Yes,
it's just really
nice. And I mean, it's getting better now as well because, like, I've always had to use the cellophane for retail or, you know, selling at the market or in shops. But with now you can get the compostable cellophane, which I love. It is much more expensive, but I couldn't bear to go back to plastic. I couldn't.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it says there, I'm just sticking on the back of the card, so it's compostable, biodegradable and recyclable, bio-based film. Yeah. And I think there's a couple of other artists and illustrators in the shop who do the same. And it is something I think that the right customers are drawn to you, particularly you were saying earlier about your weddings. I would say a lot of your customers, and I'm not saying customers again, I'm commercially terming, but I can't help it.
Wedding clients.
Thank you, Rachel, for guiding me there. So your wedding clients probably find you because they themselves have that ethos at their heart too, I would say.
And absolutely, a lot of them would come to me because of that.
Yeah, you know? Which is fabulous. So I'm going to take you back now. Now, there was a little noise on my phone. I don't know whether you heard it. So I'm just going to check that I have my phone on silent because the last thing we need is a phone call in the middle of this podcast. We'll not do that. But I'm going to take you back a wee bit because we chatted sort of about your early days there and your kind of inspiration for your art and illustration. And it's a lot of artists and illustrators have it way back in the beginning, you know, so they're drawn from a very young age. Tell me more then about sort of as time went on, because I do know that you have a bit of a background in broadcasting, journalism. Tell me a bit more about that, because that's a bit that I kind of, when you told me, I thought, oh, that's a story.
Sure. I mean, I've always done freelance art and design, all sorts of projects. I did costumes and theatre design and logo design. I still do that. I love that. Everything. Exhibition design. You know, loads and loads of different stuff. And then that was always freelance with other jobs.
Yeah.
Other jobs that, you know, like retail jobs, where I wasn't really invested. You know, I've always liked every job I've done, but I wasn't invested in continuing that. So it was always the art that mattered to me. So I found, it was an advert for it was actually the trainee for the BBC. It was actually CSV, which is a volunteer community training programme, which works in conjunction with BBC Northern Ireland and Radio Ulster. And I love radio, so I adore the arts, but I adore radio. And I just thought, this is something that just sounds just so interesting. I'm very, very curious about everything, which I think whenever you're an artist, that curiosity does lead you down that, you know, absolutely, it triggers so much. So I love just finding out about things and discovering things, and especially whenever you're working on an art project, you research it and research it.
Yeah.
So there's so much research goes on behind the scenes that, you know, people don't see in a final picture. So journalism and writing, and I'd always loved English as well at school.
Yeah.
So it just sort of all tied together. So I was like, I'm going to have to do this. So I applied for it, and I was amazed that I got it, because there was quite a big demand for the course. And it was just fascinating. It was broadcast and print journalism. And then I went, you studied your course for, it was probably about 3 months, and then you did 3 months placement in radio. And I just absolutely loved it. It was brilliant. I was the person who you'd see out in the street asking you about, you know, something that had been in the papers.
I'd love it.
You know, the vox pops in the city,
yeah,
in the city street.
Yeah.
I remember there was one. It was lovely. It was about pocket money and the rates of pocket money compared to, you know, how it was increasing and things like that. And I went out and asked little kids in the street, you know, obviously with their parents with them,
aww,
you know, how much pocket money they got, or, you know, if they had to do their chores, you know, just little things like that. I remember just silly things that were in the news. I would just go and shove a microphone in people's faces and have many people look embarrassed and run away.
But I bet you loved that kind of experience. You buzz from it,
oh,
don't
it was
you?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It was really brilliant. And see,
yeah,
whenever people stop and chat to you, it was just the best thing. It was,
yeah,
really lovely. So
I
really loved that.
And am I right in saying this is your first podcast for a girl who's
this
had a background in all of that?
This is my first ever podcast.
Wow.
First ever podcast, yeah.
Delighted.
I'm,
thank you.
You're very welcome.
And I kind of listened. I was just listening there, and you sort of, we have similar interests, you know, definitely with, I have a background in speech and drama. And funny, years ago, it would have been something I would have loved, a job like that,
uh-huh,
sat out the streets of Belfast asking for opinions. So it's nice now that I get to, I'm obsessed with the creative process, which is why I do these podcasts. So I think there's learning for it for everybody. I'm obviously a bit more of a corporate background. I am creative, but a lot of people come into the shop and go, are you the artist? And I'm like, no, I'm the owner. But, you know, but you understand, because,
yeah,
you know, I sort of source and seek out, you know, the right kind of work for the shop that resonates with the business. But isn't it interesting that, you know, like some people don't, they kind of view creativity differently, and they don't maybe look at it in the terms that you and I do. You know, you talked about resonance earlier and things kind of fitting with you,
mm-hmm,
even in terms of your wedding clients, as we call them, you know. So, but that's quite important for me as well, in terms of the customers in the business and the artists that come in, and who I kind of supply to me. It's like an eclectic mix,
mm-hmm,
of what resonates with me in a sense, you know. So tell me then, how did you go from there to, and why, and the illustration, and all of what's happening at the moment?
I was working, I did my placement, and then I did just continual working then. I stayed in radio, and I was moving around the different programmes, and I then got a lot of work. That's sort of the main amount of my work was in the arts programmes. So I would be going out and interviewing people who were doing things.
Yeah.
I would be at an exhibition. I would be at, I remember once there was a drumming circle I was at, which was brilliant.
I went to one of those one time as well. Mount Stewart or something.
This one, I can't remember. I think it was North Belfast. It was in a really amazing big old house that the community were using, and there was a drum circle. It was just fantastic.
Brilliant.
It was like sort of probably what it would have been like the old drawing room, but now it was this free-for-all drum circle. It was fantastic. But you know, going out like on culture night or, you know, things like that. And I just, there was part of me just, I should have been making the art and being talked to.
Yes.
Rather than talking about the art. I just, as much as I absolutely loved it, I wasn't drawing, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't really making anything.
Yeah.
So there's just something in you whenever you are an artist or a creative. You miss it. If you cut that part off from yourself,
yeah,
it's just, you're not yourself. You're not fully yourself. And as much as I did love that, I just...
Do you think it inspired you to get started by listening to the stories?
Definitely. No, absolutely. I mean, I spoke to some amazing people, you know, and some really fascinating people.
Brilliant. I bet you and I have met in a past life, because I used to be a volunteer and director of the Beat Initiative to do the Carnival Arts.
Right.
But we're obviously on podcast, so we can chat about that after. But just when you were saying there about drumming circles in North Belfast, I'm thinking we're going to know some of the same people in the past. It's an absolute definite, you know. But it's interesting, because what you just said has kind of resonated with me a little bit, because in doing these podcasts, I'm obsessed with the creative process, because I appreciate the creativity, mm-hmm. and I'm not artistic, but I am musical, and I used to sing and I used to play the cello, and those are things that I kind of keep here because I'm doing all this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's funny how you sort of gravitate in that direction anyway, so it's all linked, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, everything that I did in the BBC, you learn things.
Yeah.
And you learn things to go on to use wherever. You can be doing like whatever random job, and whatever you learn in that job, I don't think anything's ever lost.
Mm, yeah.
So like things, I would help sometimes write the scripts in between, you know, little features.
Okay.
And sometimes you needed to get like something down to like, you know, a minute.
Yeah.
A minute of speech that you had to get key things in. And that's helped in writing my website, my descriptions, you know, things like that, you know.
You kind of got this, the beginning, middle, end.
Yes.
A little bit of salesy pitchy in there, but not meaning to.
No, just trying to get really good information through without taking out the waffle.
Yes.
You know, because you just want to keep it short and sweet.
I know, because people have sort of limited attention spans.
People get overwhelmed by a lot of content as well. So that's something I learned in
that. That's great. So you know how to resonate quickly because you've done your sort of practice at it almost. Oh, very interesting. I'm just glancing down at the pre-prep questions because this conversation gets so interesting. I don't want to get us off track, but I think we're doing great. So obviously I stalk you here maybe by the sea, but where else, like in Northern Ireland, can people find Watercolour Sky, as you're now called?
Well, I've just, because I rebranded, it's September, I rebranded at the very end of July, so I'm kind of starting from scratch.
Okay.
Getting my work to new stockists.
Okay.
So at the minute, there's yourself. There is Inclover and Clover House, which are in Hillsborough and Moira.
Yeah.
And there is Two Sisters in Belfast.
Okay.
Which is, it's like a deli, but she has like a craft area as well. Inclover and Clover House are like galleries and
craft shops. So I'm an exclusive club right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Yes, no, absolutely.
But online in St. George's, let's tell everyone about that.
I know, I've already mentioned the market. It's a big part of what I do.
It really is.
And
do you like that sort of face-to-face with people, the direct feedback? Some of my creators shy away from that.
Well, do you know, sometimes at the market you do sort of feel like a bit of a goldfish bowl. You know, we have a lot of tourists, you know, who like taking a picture of you behind your stall.
Love it.
And I'm not naturally one for the camera, but, you know, that's, you know, it's all part of the experience, you know, for people going to a market, which is lovely. Really, the market gives me the opportunity to have my own shop front in the city centre.
Yeah.
And I've always felt that way, you know, since I started. It's just a really good opportunity. Where else can I sell in the city centre at, you know,
and get a good captive audience as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I just think the tourism trail as well just brings such a much wider type of people as well to the market. You know, people who maybe wouldn't necessarily be interested in stationery.
Yeah, or see your work. You know, I know you and I were in touch last Friday, and Mimi by the Sea. I called it USA Friday. It was crazy. I had three non-USA customers in the shop, and I started to think they were all related to each other, and they were like, no, they were all separate.
Yeah.
And I know I'd put it out on the socials, and you'd said you had the same sort of experience at the market that day. And it's, for me, as a retailer and an owner, I love it whenever someone overseas like picks up your card and takes it home, because it's gone back to the States, and you've designed that. They were never going to get that message out of this shop. Yeah. So it's nice for you to know that you're reaching a wider audience with your work as well.
Yeah, what I absolutely love is people very often, if it's local people, they'll buy something and they'll say, oh, this is going to our relatives in America or in Canada or Australia or New Zealand. And as I say, a lot of American and Canadian visitors are have been at the market recently, which is lovely, because during COVID you didn't have any visitors. It was lovely. You know, the locals are always supporting the market, which is amazing, but to have other people visit as well is just really special.
It is. And I'm just going to talk about one of your designs now, just while we're talking about that and we're thinking about the Canadian and American market. So Rachel has a card, and I personally absolutely love it.
Thank
she calls
you.
It Moore and Mountains, County Down, and this is Watercolour Sky. And we haven't even talked about your rebrand until that minute. But this card is an illustration of the Moore and Mountains with the sea in front of it, and it's just beautiful.
Oh,
absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
And it's a little verse underneath. It says, fresh breeze, crashing waves, the mountains meet the sea, ... This is my bestseller of your range. And we said earlier, every time I do a top-up order with you, you're like, what's she doing with those? Because I quadruple on this card over the other cards in the order. And I think for me, you know, I remember one day sticking this up on a story, and a lady who lives up the road from the shop ran in about 3 minutes later and said, oh, you've got this card back in stock. I've been waiting for it. And I thought, whoa, that is instantaneous response to socials. And there are days on your socials you don't know if it's even working. So to get such an immediate response is fab. But, you know, this card is so beautiful, because anyone, I actually have a lot of people who are travelling, and they will go home and frame that. So they'll take that
home
to the States and stick it in a frame, which is brilliant, because it is your illustration. It is a piece of artwork.
Yeah.
So why not frame it? Or they write it as a little card to their friends. Have you had much feedback on that one?
That one definitely would be one of my most popular ones online. I would send a lot of those over to England. You know, people with Irish surnames.
Yeah.
You know, order them from England.
You can see it. But they're missing home. I get that. I used to be one of those people. I totally understand.
But, and it would be one of the biggest sellers here as well.
Brilliant.
Actually, I have a stockist. They're an online-only stockist, Storybox. They would
sell loads of those.
I have to mention Storybox as well, the stockist. But, they stock the Moorns as well, and it would be one of their popular ones.
Brilliant. And where did the little phrase come from?
I wrote that.
That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I did a series of cards based on Northern Irish writers and poets and musicians. And I had to clear. It was only about, it was a series of about four cards, four designs. And I had to clear the quotes for use. Again, this is something I learned at the BBC, you know, the usage, you know, the copyright. And there was one card that I did, and I had to license it, and the license ran out and I had to stop making it.
Oh no.
And I was really gutted, because I really liked it, but you know, I couldn't use it anymore. So I just thought, from now on, I am going to avoid quotes from other people.
Oh.
I'm going to write my own.
Yeah, and that's probably and if you're writing quotes like that on your own, I think you're very well equipped to do so. Because it kind of just gives you, you know, it gives you the feeling, doesn't it? Fresh, funny, we're talking about that this morning. It's a bit chillier this morning.
no,
fresh breeze, crashing waves, the mountains meet the sea. And it just gives people a visual, I think, you know, through the words of you know, maybe missing the Moorns and missing home. And
well, do you know, it's my experience of, you know, living in the city, coming down here, and just the first thing I do every time I come down here is just park right at the promenade, just go down the beach and just get a big
Yeah.
Face full of that breeze.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. And I lived 20 years ago, I lived in the States, and I travelled the world about 15 years ago, and I used to just have like a screensaver of the morns.
Oh.
Because I missed home, do
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I think, and that's timeless in the sense that if you have that in you and you've got a visual mind and yeah. that kind of brings you home, that it is going to be the morns. And a lot of people in the shop, that seems to be what they're saying, you know, they're bringing it away to someone who's living in England, or they have a daughter who's moved to Liverpool to go to university and they're missing home,
lovely.
You know, things yeah. like that. That's so, so important. Just as you probably noticed, and this is a bit sneaky of me, in front of me mm-hmm. I have a few more of Rachel's designs. So she has a good crack card, which, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. And everybody knows that the word crack, pronounced crack, C-R-A-C-K, is used all over Ireland to describe good fun, banter and atmosphere, or Northern Ireland speak, as we say, you know. And that's obviously another popular card. But moving into the, and we're going to mention this, Rachel had been RB Cards up until July, when she said she rebranded and you now call yourself Watercolour Sky. Mm-hmm. And your logo design is gorgeous.
Thank you.
And I know that you designed that yourself.
No, I didn't.
Did you not?
I didn't.
Oh, tell me more.
And I'm absolutely in love with it.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, no, it's... I was trying to come up with something, and it was basically coming through COVID, having a majority wedding-based business
yeah.
with cards, because I've always done cards ever since I started RB. I've always sort of done that stationery side, but it was still very much a wedding-focused business. And then coming through COVID and having, 2 years of postponed weddings, and it was just, it was crazy. I did, 2 years' worth of weddings in about 6 months, you know, whenever everything could go ahead, and it was crazy. And if anyone else, you know, is listening to this is a wedding business, they're nodding their heads right now. We've all been through it, you know. It was so lovely, you know, to sort of be dealing with couples that were maybe postponing for like the third time, finally having their day, you know. You're just so elated for them. It's just fantastic. But I knew that I wanted to rebrand. I knew that I wanted to focus on the illustration. And whenever I had the time out with COVID, that's when I really started, from 2020, really focusing on the illustration and the art, you know, rather than sort of the graphic design. And I knew I had that name in my head for years. Every time I was like in Donegal or down here in Newcastle, or, you know, somewhere really beautiful, even my own backyard, you know, you look up and there's just a watercolour sky. Our sky is forever changing. Our sky is fascinating. You know, people always complain about the weather and being overcast and everything, but no, our clouds, you could just look at them and it's a blue sky. Then you could look at it 5 minutes later and there's like shades of lilac and that lovely purpley grey. I just
gorgeous.
Love it. And I've just always gone, look at that watercolour sky. And
beautiful.
It's just made me want to draw.
Yeah.
You know.
Four seasons in one day, but
equally
beautiful. Oh,
100%.
Yeah.
Which is awful sometimes to, you know, be out in the wrong clothes for that. But isn't it, somebody said, there's no such thing as the wrong weather, it's just the wrong clothes.
Yeah, that's very true, especially in this country.
Absolutely. And so I had that name and I kept trying to come up with my own logo. But because I'd just been through all that, I wanted to focus on the products and I just couldn't get my head together
yeah.
to do the logo. And I thought, for the first time ever, I'm going to work with another designer. And it's actually a designer called, well, she's an artist and a designer, Paula O'Hara. Her company is called Her Wild Studio.
Oh.
And I'd seen something she'd done for other people and I was blown away. And I booked her.
It is,
I had to wait
it
a while, but
beautiful.
It was worth waiting for.
And I think it's beautiful because you're so linked to nature. And obviously, you know, the sky is your focus and your branding. But in your logo, you've got all of the trees and the flowers and the birds in there too. So it's giving you like, and it's like a little globe, isn't it? It's
is,
like a little mini
is.
Globe. And I've only noticed that for the first time. That's what you intended. That's so lovely. And obviously here on the back of this card, we're in black and white, but on it's sort of a purpley tone.
It is, it's a purpley background
in your logo.
With the logo is in like, it probably looks white, but it is like the softest, palest lilac.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely stunning.
The,
I love
the
it.
Little birds were, again, during lockdown, I was sitting in the garden and I never, in the summer, because I was always working through weddings, I was always indoors working.
Yeah.
And I had the time to sort of sit outside and draw. And I was just surrounded by birds the whole time. Little,
yeah.
there was like a little family of cool tits, which are the tiniest, tiniest little birds. They're amazing. And they were just flying around me the whole time. And there was a little wren that would just appear every now and then, and a little robin. So I've got a little wren on there. And then the swifts, you'd hear the swifts above.
Yeah, the swifts are beautiful. And that's why you noticed the wren in the shop this morning.
I did, yes.
From Eileen McKeown Art. Yeah, there you go. No, that's lovely. I really like what you've done there. And I think for in your new designs and illustrations, and we chatted about this before we started to record this morning, you do lots of flowers. Like, you're so linked to nature, aren't you? Like, I'm holding on your wedding day card. It's blue, like, illustrated flowers. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning,
thank you.
That card.
I'm really fascinated and obsessed with two things.
Okay.
Well, nature is like encompasses everything, but I'm really obsessed with pattern and with flowers.
Yeah.
Flowers are my favourite thing in the whole world. I buy myself flowers regularly, you know.
Brilliant.
Like, especially, you know, if there's like an amazing big expensive bunch and it's like discounted because there's like a couple of dead ones, I'm taking that home.
Absolutely reinvigorating that. Yeah.
I have the tiniest little vase, which I'll even just put a handful of flowers from the garden on my my art desk. You know, I love them. They're my favourite things in the world.
Brighten
I just
your day.
I love them.
Keep you inspired.
I've had some people just go in, you know, like, I don't really bother about, you know, don't really like flowers, not really bothered. I'm like, have you looked at them? You know, they're just
colours and textures and smells.
The shapes, yeah. They're beauty. They're just absolutely gorgeous. So I love them. The other thing is pattern. And I'm only starting to read up on this, but whenever I'm doing the florals and drawing it and then putting them together in patterns, I find it very meditative.
Right.
How do you say that? Meditative.
Meditative, yes, absolutely, yes.
And there's a thing that the brain naturally looks for patterns, because if it looks for patterns, then it knows what's coming next and it finds it very, very restful.
Right, okay.
And it's things like we sort of naturally look for patterns in nature.
Yeah.
Like people will look for patterns in words or maths, you know, without, or numbers, you know, without even really being conscious of it.
Yeah.
And it is something that the brain finds very restful and very comforting and very reassuring.
So it's like structure.
Yes.
It's almost like the structure you put into your day, or we're in autumn, so the leaves are going to fall off the trees.
All of that. Yeah. Or even just, you know, looking at a pattern on a wall, you don't need to sort of guess what's coming next. Cause you know, the way, like, so much that you learn is like instinct from like way back when, you know, when it's fight or flight survival. Like first man, you know, that sort of thing. And it's still with us, this pattern where it's very restful because you know what's happening, you know where you are. I suppose this is a kind of mental security.
Yeah, absolutely.
But certainly it is very calm and very restful. And certainly whenever I'm drawing them and creating them, that's the sort of
feel.
Mode I'm in. So I love it. I absolutely adore working in pattern
and
flowers.
That's so amazing. Yeah. No,
and colour. Colour is just my thing.
Yeah, and it really comes through in these new designs. And I seen a difference when you rebranded. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, actually, for me anyway, that you called yourself Watercolour Sky, because I'm going back to this card, but that is a watercolour. And if I think I don't have all of your scenic illustrations throughout Northern Ireland, but I know you do the Causeway, you've a few, they're all like that. They're all very watercolour-esque in look, you know, and in how you've drawn them, which is really, really
watercolour
nice.
Watercolour would be my
that's
main
your
one
main
that I draw.
One.
Pencils, pencil colouring, pencil, watercolour, and I'm starting to get into gouache now, which is, it's like an opaque watercolour.
Oh.
So it's lovely. It's really lovely. It's like a really thick, creamy version of watercolour, but you can still water it down and get the same effects. But I'm starting to work with that now. It's more solid colour.
Oh, lovely. Interesting. Can't wait to see what you do with that. So we are like nearly at the end. Can you believe that? We've talked lots. But we're at the crux of it all, because I can tell from our conversation there is so much depth to you and in your creative sense. And you've come on quite a journey in your career. You mentioned before we started recording that it was 2010 that you really went for it with your design and illustration work. And you have your business savvy, your learned business savvy, but you've obviously come on that journey as well, and operating through maybe times that weren't as good. What tips, do you have any particular tips for any other creatives in business out there, or is there anything you want to say to them?
Well, I suppose one thing that I have really learned is, I suppose the simplest way to put it is work hard and be kind. And just whenever I sort of say that, I know that sounds really, really simple, but if you work hard, and there's so many people who, they're like, I'm going to make these and make loads of money.
Yeah.
And yes, we are in business to support ourselves, to be able to make a living from what we do. And I'm very, very lucky that I can make a living from what I do. But it's not about the money. I work hard because I want to create beautiful things.
Yeah.
And I think there's a sense of that in my work.
Yeah.
That people, you know, it's not, well, what's the word I'm thinking of? When it's sort of
just, nostalgia.
No, created just for the sake of
Production to consume.
Yes,
gotcha.
Absolutely. That sort of thing, you know, just really sort of like inauthentic.
Yeah, no, it's from the heart. You're creating from the heart. It's what resonates
absolutely.
With you.
Yes, yeah, yes, totally. Absolutely. So,
and you can see that.
Oh, thank you.
No,
thank
you totally good. Can,
I'm glad,
though.
I'm glad. So, I mean, I know to some people they're just greetings cards, but to me, there are little works of art that I'm putting out into the world, you know, and for somebody to be able to use those to put, a special meaning in it to someone else, you know, to keepsake, you know, that sort of that card. But so work hard at what you do, and just perfectionism is an issue with creatives. But sometimes you've just got to let go and just put it out into the world, and you can always change it later. You can always redo it better or change it or, you know, refine it or whatever. So just work hard, be kind, be generous in your business.
And I think that kind of resonates with me as well, because I'm a hard worker. Like, I'm not even getting into that in this podcast. Nobody wants to hear that aspect of my story, but I work too hard. I try to train myself not to so much, but the business can be kind of all very full on at the minute.
Yeah.
And I think in the creative industry, in the creative sense, a true creative is doing the work just from the heart, is what you said. So there is this kind of feeling of juggling social media and other aspects, but it is tough because you have to be true to you and some of those other things that are going on feel like you're working against yourself. Do you have any advice?
Well, I mean, whenever I did start the business, it was 2010, and it was, do you remember the phrase credit crunch?
Yes.
That awful phrase. It sounds like a really weird snack.
Nobody would want a date.
Yeah, horrible. So really, you know, the thing is that there are people who are out there and they do want the things that you make.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's businesses that close, but it could be the greatest times. It could be, you know, the best of times, and businesses will still close.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've all had that horrible word pivot, which I just think about Friends and Ross and that couch. Remember that scene? When everyone's going pivot in your business.
But, ouch, sounds beautiful. I might put my hip out.
But you know, adjust, adapt. You know, just because things are really, really tough doesn't mean that you have to absorb that.
Yes.
You know, you can watch the news and just think, this is awful, this is really, really awful. And it is really hard. But just be careful that you're not absorbing that into your own business. You know, have a look and see.
Yeah.
Is this actually happening right now, or am I okay right now?
Yeah.
Because it is really easy to sort of go catastrophe when it's not.
Totally. And I'm a great believer that you shine your own light.
Yeah.
And it's about knowing what that is and how to do that. And that comes with experience and time and being on a journey. And also for me personally, looking sort of in at creativity in the last couple of years in COVID times, people were physically locked up in their homes, and I see a lot of artists, young artists in their 20s, who have come out for the first time and have started to draw that never drew before and are producing some of the most unbelievable work. So for me, it's a bit like what we talked about earlier before we recorded. We're the kind of individuals that just go, oh, come on, let's be positive, let's try and do something. But I see a lot of people for the first time trying something new, and actually the creativity level is at an all-time high out there.
Fantastic.
in the craft and creation market, because so many people have tried something different and maybe through even just their own escapism and trying mm-hmm. to navigate their minds around what was happening in the times that we're in. But there is an awful lot of positivity there, and I think yeah. that's so, so good.
Oh no, you've definitely got to be positive. You've got to believe in yourself and just keep your head down, keep working, keep making things and share. So many people are scared to share what they do. Yeah. Do you know, you could have, you know, the Sistine Chapel in your house and nobody sees it. You know, share it, you know, absolutely. Yeah. And certainly there's plenty of businesses out there that, you know, are maybe not, you know, the greatest businesses in the world, but they're sharing and they're sharing and they've got their customers, you know.
And they're refining as they go, which is funny, something yeah, you mentioned earlier. Yeah, and I know even for this business, it's completely different from the day I opened my doors. And do you know the way you get that time hop on your phone? I cringe when I see photos of when I first opened. There wasn't even any colour on the walls. I'm now an Annie Sloan stockist, you know, and I look at it and aghast because
yeah, yeah.
2 years goes by quick in what the kind of work that we do. It's funny where if you have a perfectionist tendency, it can really hold you back.
Oh, definitely. You know,
it really stops you. But we all do.
Yeah,
we all do. And I've spoke to loads of artists who they're nearly too detailed into it and maybe not taking the feedback that somebody else is telling us to be.
Yeah.
Just go, go, go.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can, life's like that. It's messy. You have to fix it as you go along and try your best.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, certainly with my rebrand, I actually was supposed to rebrand in January.
Right.
But it ended up being July. And the reason is I had an awful lot going on behind the scenes. Everything just kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And I thought, I want the new brand before Christmas. I really want it before Christmas. And I don't want to be launching it in like September, October.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I want to have it in the summer. So I had the new designs ready. I had the new stock built up, you know, for the stall. I had my photography done for my Etsy shop. All that, but I still hadn't got my website done. And it was just like, you know, I could wait until everything is perfect and I'm about to, you know, have a countdown and everything's going to launch on this date. And then, bling, all of a sudden, you know, absolutely. It's suddenly perfect. And I just thought, no, I need to get this done. So I launched the brand at the market. I had my Etsy shop a week later. And I'm just about to go live with the website. And, do you know, I know the website should have been done before, but, you know, circumstances, you just got to just relax.
Totally. And just relax. Do it. And I think, too, it's important that you launched it in the right way at the market. I mean, you're there, is it every second week you're at the market?
Every other Saturday, yes.
Every other Saturday.
It's usually the first and third week.
First and third week of the month, guys, mm-hmm. if you're wanting to see Rachel St. George's
Market. And I will share my dates on Instagram as well.
There you go. Keep checking on Watercolour Sky on Instagram. But yeah, I think, you know, it's important that you, when you're doing something like that you do it with your close network, isn't it? With the people that maybe come to see
absolutely.
You all the time.
Absolutely.
And then you sort of take on the World Wide Web after that, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, whenever I launch the website, it's another chance to share with everybody, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it that way. So I let go. There's a lovely phrase, progress, not perfection.
Yeah. Brilliant. Love it. Love it. Progress, not perfection, folks. And work hard and be kind. No, the be kind is so important because it's not, I think in a creative business, the default is not, you know, in any business, it can be cutthroat, but in a creative business, creatives want to be kind and they're working from the heart. So the two things are not always marrying. And that's why I do my business. And just even from chatting to you, I now understand that a bit more. So the creative in me is kind, but I look at other businesses sometimes and think, oh, not so kind, but it works for me, and it's why I do what I do, and keep myself going on the good days and the bad.
I think the be kind thing also sort of is like welcoming, you know, like a warmth in your business, you know, just to share, you know, not, you know, hard seller, right? You know,
Well, I'm not that kind of seller. No. Some people come in and they have to have extra time to deal with me in a self environment. But no, I totally know what you get.
You know, and that doesn't work with a creative business at all, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to know the stories and who's buying and why they're buying. And that kind of detailed feedback is more important to you than knowing that you got X amount of sales that month.
Oh, no, absolutely.
It's the stories behind it and, you know, the meaning and what it means to somebody. Yeah, amazing. Well, that has been like a little lovely whirlwind this morning. I've enjoyed that whole thing. Is there anything else that you want to add? Rachel, I'm checking our questions. I think we ticked our boxes quite well. Yeah, we've covered a lot. And, you know, I think it's nice. It's a nice time for you that we're doing the podcast as well, because I didn't actually realise that you weren't in as many retailers in Northern Ireland.
Yes, no, just I'm starting from absolute scratch, which is a wee bit daunting, but it was my choice. I wanted to start this off as something new and something fresh. And just, you know, I've changed. You know, 12 years ago, I started the business, and I have, you know, I started RB, and I've really changed. And to not have a business change with you is...
Yeah, no, that's a really brave and good step to take as well, with the team.
So it's early days. I bring a lot of experience, but it's still new.
No, of course it's still new, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you
very
much.
Excited for you, though, and I know how all the lovely newness has been received here, so
lovely, thank
it'll
you.
Be received the same everywhere. And I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come here today.
Thank you so much.
Record your first podcast with me. I think there may be a few more podcasts in your future, Rachel, let's be honest. And maybe you and I can even revisit in the future and reflect on where we were today and then where we've got to in the next podcast.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I've loved it.
Absolutely. No problem. Thank you, Rachel. So everyone, that was the episode number 4 on the Turning Your Passion into Business podcast series, and you were listening to Rachel Devlin from Watercolour Sky. She was formerly RB Cards. You can find her on Facebook and Instagram, and she is weeks 1 and weeks 3, I think, in St George's Market in Belfast. If you're in Mimi by the Sea, I have a wall dedicated to her cards and her illustrations here in the shop, and I can talk you through any of her designs and her work on her behalf, which I know she trusts me to do. And yes, if you have any feedback for us on the podcast today, I know the last one went down a treat, do pop in to Mimi by the Sea up at the harbour in Newcastle, or drop us a line, drop Rachel a line as well. She would love to hear your thoughts as well, and we look forward to chatting with you all soon in podcast number 5. Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. You have been listening to the Turning Your Passion into Business podcast series. We hope that you got some tips and insights from passionate creators that you can apply to your own creativeness. We are Mimi by the Sea, Gift, Home, Dream, for gifts, home and supporting creatives. You can shop online at mimibythesea.com or in store in the harbour area of Newcastle, County Down, Northern Ireland. Hello, I'm Yvan, the founder and owner of Mimi by the Sea, a gift and home shop that also supports creatives. I welcome you to this Turning Your Passion into Business podcast series, which includes top tips and insights from talented local creators who live and work their passions every day. I hope you enjoy.